Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today's speaker is His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji. Prabhuji will speak on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse number 51 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic Prabhuji. I now hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, text number 51 and 52. So, this is in continuation of the words Atma Ramasya Munayo and
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes,
Hare Krishna. Krishna. Prabhuji, can you press that webcam? Your video is not seen live.
Yeah, it's on now. Can you see?
Just Prabhu, 1 second. I'm checking. Still not. I couldn't see Prabhuji. Yeah, now I can see Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, text number 51 and 52. This is the chapter, the 61 explanations of Atma Rama verse. We will read 51. Rupa Guna Shravane Rukmani Adira Akarshana. Translation, the queens in Dwaraka, headed by Rukmini, are also attracted to Krishna simply by hearing about his transcendental beauty and qualities. Text 52. Shutva gunan bhuvana sundara shilvatamte nirvishyat karna gudaraye haratom nagaptabam rupam drisham drishmatam akilartha labam svayatjita vishati kutsam apatrapam me. Translation, O most beautiful Krishna, I have heard about your transcendental qualities from others, and therefore all my bodily miseries are relieved. If someone sees your transcendental beauty, his eyes have attained everything profitable in life. O infallible one, I have become shameless after hearing of your qualities, and I have become attracted to you. Purport. This verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.52.37, was written by Rukmini Devi in a letter to Krishna inviting him to kidnap her. Sukadeva Goswami described this to Maharaj Parikshit when the king asked him how Rukmini had been kidnapped. Rukmini had heard about Krishna's qualities from different people, and after she heard about them, she decided to accept Krishna as her husband. Everything has been arranged for her marriage to Shishupala. Therefore, she wrote a letter to Krishna, which she sent through a Brahmana and invited him to kidnap her. We'll discuss these two verses today. Om Ajnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदी गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. So we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, in the context where Mahaprabhu is explaining about Atma Ramasya Munayaha verse. So this whole chapter, it is an interesting revelation by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he is trying to elevate a personal from an impersonalistic viewpoint to a personalist understanding of the Supreme Lord. Krishna can be realized as Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Satyate, wherein many a times it is noted that people have limited understanding and are not able to understand the Supreme Lord's personal aspect. So from that background, Mahaprabhu, based on the request by Sanatana Goswami, is explaining about his personal aspect. So anyone who hears this narration of Mahaprabhu's description about Atma Ramasya Munaya, wherein Mahaprabhu very nicely explaining, elevating, and whoever hears will be able to appreciate the personal aspect of the Supreme Lord. This personal aspect of the Supreme Lord is very important to be understood, because Brahman realization and Paramatma realization both are incomplete. So Mahaprabhu is explaining about Krishna's guna. There's a word guna, and Krishna and Krishna's glories and Krishna's qualities are explained by Mahaprabhu over here. So these two verses are in the current context where Krishna's transcendental qualities are explained. And while explaining, he is quoting Rukmini's prayers, wherein Rukmini wrote her feelings and confessed to the Supreme Lord because she got so much captivated by the Supreme Lord's beauty. In Vrindavan, the entire mood in Vrindavan is centered around Krishna's transcendental nature, Krishna's transcendental form, and Krishna's beauty and activities. There is a very strong nature of possessiveness that the Vrindavan devotees have for Krishna, and this possessiveness is so much intense that each one of them is starting to accept and believe Krishna belongs to me only. So this transcendental qualities and exchanges between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan is so unique, is so special that you cannot see such transactions elsewhere. So in our conversation today, we are going to have a set of reflections, and through the set of reflections, we will churn the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord. This portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita is extremely important for preachers to understand, because Mahaprabhu is categorically, very scientifically explaining a personal aspect of the Supreme Lord with which an impersonalist, those who have faith in the Lord but does not have a full understanding of the Supreme Lord, are able to elevate their consciousness. In the last time when I spoke about this context, we discussed about the word Muni, and now we'll discuss about Krishna's transcendental qualities. And Krishna's transcendental qualities are ever increasing, so do the qualities of Krishna's transcendental devotees. So the loving relationship between Krishna and his devotees are so intense, they are so deep, they are so personal, that by the love of his devotees, Krishna's beauty is enhanced or increased, and when Krishna's beauty is increased, the love for Krishna is increased in devotees. So this is a ever incremental process, and there is no end to this. And this cannot be measured, this cannot be contemplated from a materialistic understanding. So we need to accept them as they are, and we should not analyze logically. So we are going to have three sets of reflections. One is about possessiveness. Two is about confidence. Three is about Krishna's reciprocative nature in this context. The reason we are discussing this is because Krishna's qualities are not independent of his devotee's qualities. One time, Arjuna and Krishna were speaking. So Krishna was telling Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, I am existing because my devotees are there. The sun is rising because my devotees are there. The world activities are happening because my devotees are there. The reason he was trying to say is, if at all everybody understands and considers that I am the cause behind all the causes, and the cause for me is my dear devotee. So the first reflection is about Krishna's transcendental qualities. Whilst Krishna is Swaraj, whilst Krishna is Bhagavan, while Krishna is the Supreme Lord, very formally treated by his Dasya Bhaktas and others, but he has got some special nature where he is sold out to his unique, loving devotees. So the first reflection is about Krishna's transcendental qualities in connection with his devotees. When Srimati Radharani used to prepare a preparation for Krishna, she would never repeat such a preparation again because she wants to give more and more and more and more. So based on Srimati Radharani's love, based on her interaction, based on her any movements towards Krishna, Krishna's love increases multifold at times. And when Srimati Radharani sees this, her love for Krishna gets increased. One day, Srimati Radharani was very upset because she was already formally married to Abhimanyu and she had a mother-in-law by name Jatila and she had a sister-in-law by name Kutila. Shastra describes that this Jatila and Kutila as well as Abhimanyu are so stupid people that they would never understand the position of Srimati Radharani and especially mother-in-law and sister-in-law duo used to torture, exploit and try to bother Srimati Radharani in doing all household chores. And Srimati Radharani, without able to see Krishna, without able to go and meet the Supreme Lord, she used to be always upset. She used to always remain very sad. And Abhimanyu, as explained, is one of the idiots, or you can consider a dull-headed guy. He wouldn't know to appreciate and glorify Srimati Radharani because he wouldn't understand what's going on. So this was the scenario at Srimati Radharani's place. But Krishna, every day, he used to make strategy to go and meet Srimati Radharani. This is a little eccentric, very deep, very intimate pastime. The reason this is being told is about the transcendental nature of the loving relationship between Krishna and his devotees, especially the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani, to explain about Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna and how Krishna's transcendental qualities are enhanced. Because Krishna's transcendental qualities are not stagnant are not stable. They are ever increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam. So it is constantly increasing and the pleasure and the happiness and the transcendental quality of Krishna can never be measured from a materialistic standpoint. And it cannot be imitated, it cannot be comprehended, it cannot be explained, so it can only be relished and just surrendered. So when we hear about the transcendental qualities, as it was explained by Mahaprabhu, as Mahaprabhu is still going to explain about Krishna's transcendental nature, all we can do is just raise our hands and surrender to Krishna, saying, please accept me in your lotus feet. संसारकूपे पतितोऽत्यकारे मोहान्धपूर्णे विषयाभिसक्ते सरावलम्बम् मम देहि विष्णो गोविन्द दामोदर माधवेति संसारकूपे पतितोऽस्य जाडे. So Villanmangala Thakura is explaining how we don't have any other choice but for raising our hands, pleading to Krishna and requesting Krishna, please pull me out of this muck. Please pull me out of this quicksand. Please pull me out of this vicious circle of birth and death. Because I have already fallen into this trap and I can't help myself. So we just need to request and just surrender to Krishna. So analyzing, even though Krishna says, Janma karma chane divyam yevam yoviti chastota, if somebody tries to understand my transcendental appearance and qualities, then he will not take birth again. The real intent is, somebody cannot understand unless Krishna reveals himself. And Krishna does not reveal to anyone and everyone unless we possess some qualities where we are going to talk about that. So this transcendental quality of Krishna is a very interesting layer which not everybody is given an access to, and Krishna cannot control himself, hiding himself, these qualities. This is simultaneously one and true. So Krishna's transcendental qualities cannot be seen, cannot be experienced, cannot be relished, cannot be appreciated without acquiring necessary qualities. At the same time, Krishna cannot control himself. Krishna cannot hide. Krishna cannot shy away. Krishna is not able to, you know, hold back himself when his devotees are loving him. So this is a very interesting, situation. So one day, Abhimanyu visited Nanda Baba's house in Nandagram. So Nanda Baba is a village head. So Abhimanyu visited there. And before Abhimanyu was visiting, Yashoda Maiya was very busy packing something in a suitcase. So Yashoda Maiya is constantly putting all the different jewelry, silk clothes, gifts, bangles, pile, so many wonderful gifts, very nicely being packed. And Krishna came into the scene and interfered and asked, my dear Mother Yashoda, my dear mother, what are you doing? So, because Mother Yashoda was very busy preparing her preparation to pack things, she said that, don't disturb me, Krishna, I am busy. Krishna is upset when you don't give attention to him. This is not the first time Mother Yashoda kind of sees Krishna off. In Damodar Leela also, she was, she left Krishna down to go and attend the milk in the stove. So Krishna cannot accept him being ignored. He get really agitated, he get really jittery. So Krishna was upset and Mother Yashoda said that, don't disturb me, I am busy packing something. So Krishna was waiting on the side, and that day she had also called for a goldsmith to come to her house. So almost her entire packing was done. So she had asked one of her very confident servant to come and lock the box. She gave an instruction, you please lock this box. Abhimanyu, who is going to come now, and please hand over this to Nanda Baba. When Abhimanyu is coming to see Nanda Baba, ask Nanda Maharaj to hand over this box as a gift from my side to Radharani. She's so much beloved to me, so please give this to her. I am going to attend this goldsmith, so I will not be able to take care of this task, so please do this needful. And Nanda Maharaj and Abhimanyu were in the living room, and Abhimanyu has already arrived, so they are corresponding. In the meanwhile, Krishna went and interfered to the servant, saying that nothing doing, you are doing what I'm asking you to do. You are not supposed to reveal what I'm going to do. So he removed all the gifts that Mother Yashoda packed for Srimati Radharani, and he kind of, you know, kept it somewhere hidden. He hid himself inside the box and told the servant, lock this and rest of the instruction remains same. Whatever Mother Yashoda said, you go and do. But don't never ever tell Mother Yashoda, I just did this. I will then, you know, be very upset. So this guy said, no, don't worry Krishna, I will follow whatever you say. And Mother Yashoda said to the servant when she left, could you please give a specific instruction to Nanda Maharaj to inform Abhimanyu, whatever gift I am giving in this box, that Krishna, Yashodamaya said that let Radharani wear this every day. This is especially for Srimati Radharani, and she can accept this, wear this, and she can, you know, this is her property from my side. Give that special instruction. And Nanda Maharaj gave this box to Abhimanyu, and Abhimanyu carried this box in his head and was walking back to his house. Abhimanyu felt this box was very heavy, unusually heavy. He thought that, wow, so much of gifts Yashodamaya has given. So much of that gift he has given to my wife, and I'm sure that this will at least please her. Because I am not able to please her. I am constantly seeing her crying. I am constantly seeing her disturbed. I am constantly seeing her upset. So maybe if I take this gift and give her, she'll be very happy. So thinking about this, he carried the entire box. And while he was carrying this box, he was having different emotions, some ecstatic symptoms, some different kind of feeling. So he went home, and as soon as he went home and gave the box to showed the box to his mother, Jatila, asked, where is Srimati Radharani? Where is Radha? So Jatila, as usual, she expressed her frustration, saying that since morning she is so upset, since morning she is not seeing anyone, talking to anyone. She is with her friend in the room inside. You please go and see her there. So Abhimanyu carried this box and went inside that room. And as soon as Abhimanyu walked inside the room, in that room there were Vishakha, Lalita, and few other gopis along with Radharani. They were all there. So Srimati Radharani was, even though she was very happy with her friends, as soon as she saw Abhimanyu, she became morose. And they were all, suddenly stopped their talking. So Abhimanyu went and left the box, saying that Yashoda Maharani, Mother Yashoda had given this gift to you, and she had asked me, this is pretty confidential, personal, and all the gifts that are there for you, you can wear them, use them every day. And saying that, he left it in the room and left. So as soon as all the girls saw the box, they were all very happy and very ecstatic. And they were opening the box. And as soon as Krishna opened the box, so he saw, as soon as Radharani opened the box, he saw Krishna inside. So And Krishna, as if he didn't know what was happening, he was kind of behaving in a very childish way. So where am I? How come I am here? I was taking rest. I was not wanting anyone to disturb me. I was sleeping in this. How come somebody carried me here? So he kind of, behaving as if he was not knowing what was going on. So suddenly Radharani also started to behave. Who are you? Why come you are, how come you are here? So she also started to, show a drama as if she didn't want Krishna to come. And knowing the situation, Vishakha, Lalita, everybody left the room saying that they are leaving. So that left Krishna and Srimati Radharani alone. Srimati Radharani was pulling Krishna's leg, Krishna was pulling Srimati Radharani's leg. And this situation in that time was so intense, so transcendental, that Krishna forgot. Krishna never realized he is Bhagavan. And he became shy. He was trying to hide all his emotions in such a manner that they had a very nice, loving exchange. So Krishna got completely sold out to Srimati Radharani's love, and Srimati Radharani got completely captivated in that love of Krishna, and there was a very special, loving exchange between them. And because it was a gift, and because it was officially told that Srimati Radharani can wear them, Srimati Radharani gave a tight hug to Krishna, and their loving emotions increased multifold at times. So the transcendental quality of Krishna, along with his loving, dear devotees, is so much intense, is so much deep, that it does not fit into any material logic. I mean, this is pretty confidential fact-saying. But at the same time, since we are discussing about the deeper aspects of Krishna's transcendental qualities, the reflection that I want to bring in over here is Krishna cannot control himself in front of his own dear devotees. If his devotees are there expressing his love, then he is sold out. He is completely captivated, and that's why in Chorashtakam, Indomangala Thakura is saying that I am going to arrest you in my heart, the prison of my heart. My heart is like a prison house. My heart is a dirty place. Because of you stealing away so much of my sins, because of you robbing off so much of my bad propensity, because you completely uprooted all that I have acquired since time immemorial, I am going to punish you. I am going to arrest you in the prison house of my heart, and I will not let you out for aeons. Vraje prasitam navanita choram gopanganam syadukula choram. So Nilamala Bhagavan is singing how Krishna is a thief, and as a thief he has stolen all our sinful propensities, all our kleshas, all our unwanted things in our heart, and he should be punished. The best way of punishing is arresting him in our hearts. So the transcendental love between Krishna and his devotees are very, very intense. So the moment Krishna sees his devotees' love, he can't control himself. And the moment Krishna is expressing himself, devotee cannot control himself. And this loving exchanges go by far, long, long time, and it's never ending. And the beauty of this is each of them is doing without any expectation in return. When a devotee is loving Krishna, it is not for anything for Krishna to give back. When Krishna is loving, it is not for anything for the devotees to, provide. That is why we discussed in our earlier session, there are four stages. Knowing Krishna, praying to Krishna, serving Krishna, and loving Krishna. So for us, knowing, praying, serving is very obvious and we know as devotees. But do we know how to love Krishna? Because loving Krishna means only give to Krishna and not expect anything in return. Is only to go on glorifying Krishna, please Krishna, in such a manner that the gopis did. That is why when Krishna left from Vrindavan, all the gopis are crying, saying that we left our husbands, we left our families, we left our so many situations, we came and spent our time with you, and you are torturing us like this. How fair it is. It is not fair on your part. And even in their anger, they were glorifying Krishna. Even in their frustration, they were glorifying Krishna. Even in their moroseness, they were glorifying Krishna. So, Vrindavan, or mood of Vrindavan, is completely dependent on Krishna's devotees, and Krishna is dependent on them. So, this is a very transcendental nature of Krishna's aspect of it, because Krishna is Bhagavan, Krishna is Paramatma, Krishna is Brahman, they have various functions. But when Krishna is beloved to his devotees, he is completely sold out and he is there subservient. So the first reflection is to define about Krishna's transcendental qualities. There are many, many more such intense pastimes where Krishna does not show, does not reveal, is not able to control, is not able to cover his weakness, his shyness, his dependency, his subservient nature towards his devotees. He finally surrenders to them, and that scene is non-comprehendable by impersonalists. The reason this pastime is shared over here is impersonalists cannot understand this aspect of the Supreme Lord. Those who do not know Krishna as Bhagavan, those who do not know the transcendental qualities of Krishna will not be able to understand these qualities of the Supreme Lord, and that's why they remain. They can only scratch the surface of what bhakti is all about. So when we talk about guna aspect of Krishna, we need to understand what we know as Krishna as Bhagavan, as Krishna as beautiful, as Krishna as Shad Aishwarya Paripurna Saman. All that we know is only formal information of Krishna, which is with awe and reverence we worship him. But the love aspect of Krishna is only available only when we are in pure devotional service. Till we have reached the stage of bhava and prema, the transcendental mellow and the transcendental subtlety aspect of Krishna's qualities are never revealed. So when Rukmini Devi saw this, when Rukmini Devi understood this, and Rukmini Devi have completely, you know, realized this, she is writing, now I don't have any shy. I am ready to go any extent to get you, because I can't control myself. This is Krishna's transcendental quality. Now, look at the devotee's transcendental quality. When we spoke about Krishna's qualities enhances and how he is in front of his devotees, not able to control, and how he is to others, not able to reveal. So, is what we just spoke. But let us talk about what is that in the devotee that makes him unique. So, there are two aspects of it. One is about possessiveness. Second is about the confidence. This is a very deep and detailed subject. So, may not be able to analyze every details about this aspect of it. Within the limited time, I'll try to share whatever best possible. Now let us talk about the confidence part of it. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, while explaining about the six principles of Sharanagati, Mahaprabhu had explained, Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Varjanam, Rakshishyadi Vishwaso. Rakshishyadi Vishwaso actually means that a devotee understands Krishna will protect. Krishna will rescue. so let us analyze a little bit about this aspect about confidence. This is called absolute confidence. What does absolute confidence actually mean? This means a devotee is absolutely aware that Krishna is going to protect me. I'll give you some examples. It's very famous examples. And this absolute confidence has got a very interesting nature. And we were also going to compare as a part of this discussion the difference between absolute confidence versus overconfidence. Because what happens in Krishna consciousness is we are expected to gain absolute confidence as a part of our surrender to Krishna, but in the process we are not supposed to be overconfident. So we will give example of overconfidence and how they eventually, you know, fail, and give example of absolute confidence and how they gain, and we compare the qualities between these two and how this enhances Krishna's transcendental qualities. First about, let us talk about absolute confidence. When Krishna was in trouble with Putana, with Adhasur, with various other situations in Vrindavan, every day one demon used to come to Vrindavan and used to create a havoc. Every day the scenario was somebody or the other, someone used to disturb. Once Radhanath Maharaj was explaining, assume that every day you have a hurricane, every day you have a tornado, every day you have something or the other in your city, that you have to vacate your house or run away, you have to be hearing about, what will you do? And that Krishna is giving to his dearmost. Anyway, let us not talk about why he has given to them. But the point is, every day when such a problem has happened, all the devotees in Vrindavan used to do two things. Number one, completely surrender to Krishna and be confident that Krishna will take care. If I go and surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care and rest, no problem. At the same time, they used to be fearing, is Krishna okay? Can you imagine? It's a very interesting paradox. They have no fear of their safety because Rakshishati Vishwas, Krishna will protect me. And at the same instant, simultaneously, they will fear, is Krishna okay? This is called absolute confidence in love. When Indra was bringing Samvartaka cloud, everybody went and took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna rescued them by lifting Govardhan. So they were all absolutely knowing that Krishna is protecting us and there is no problem for us. But while they were standing under the Kirida arch, they were worried about Krishna. Different people have different worries. The elderly cowherd men thought that how come Krishna can hold in a little finger the entire mountain, so let us hold, give some sticks and help Krishna. Yashoda Maya is thinking that Krishna is standing without eating. Who will feed him? Different people were worried, what will happen to Krishna? Poor guy, he is holding it for us. I hope nothing happens to him. I hope no bad evil, you know, fall upon him. So they were fearing for him. Can you imagine that love for them, the love for their love for Krishna is so intense that there is absolutely no fear for themselves because they know Krishna will protect. And they had all fear for Krishna because they had love for him. And the converse is also true. Krishna had no problem to think about himself, and he was only worried about his devotees. That's what Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Kshipram Bhavati Dharma Atma Saswat Chandin Vigatyati Kaunteya Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashati. when Krishna declared the statement to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, please go and boldly declare, my devotee never perishes. Please go and boldly declare that my devotee will always be protected. He is asking Arjuna to go and declare. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna himself could have made that statement. Krishna himself could have gone and said that whoever surrenders to me, I will protect. But Krishna may not keep the promises that he has given, but he can never break the promises that his devotees have given. So far that has happened where Krishna's devotees have given a promise and Krishna has not kept it. And there are instances where Krishna had to break his promises, especially in Mahabharata war. So the point is, Krishna is not worried about his image. When Krishna has to lift the wheel of the chariot, when Bhishma Pitamaha was fighting, Krishna was not worried that I am breaking my promise. Krishna was not worried about his image. Krishna was not worried about his dignity. He had only one thing that he has to protect his devotee. So the love between Krishna and his devotees are transcendental. And the reason this is happening is, a devotee is having rakshishyati vishwaso, absolute confidence. So there is a fear, and that fear is arising out of love, and that love actually attracts Krishna to reveal, not control, his personal side of him, which he does not reveal to the people. And in absolute confidence, we have all reverence for Krishna. We are not trying to, you know, deal with Krishna in a very formal, you know, just for the sake of formality. So this is a very interesting quality with respect to absolute confidence, wherein anybody who has got complete surrender to Krishna, they have completely understood Krishna is my shelter and I will do anything for that. Now let us talk about overconfidence. See, that people whom Krishna won't reveal himself. I'll give you at least few examples. Indra, during Giriraj Govardhan pastime, Indra during Vritrasura's pastime, we have Brahma in Brahma Vimohan Leela. There are more examples. With this overconfidence, they were overconfident that I'm anyway a devotee, what great can happen. Indra never thought Krishna was Supreme Lord till he lifted his Govardhan and he had to come and ask for forgiveness along with Surabhi Kau. He was overconfident. I am Raja of, you know, heavenly planet. I have Samvartaka. I have so much of power. So how come this small boy can stop me over? So this overconfidence also comes with a component called carelessness or fearlessness. Because of our overconfidence, yes, I am a devotee, I am initiated, I am second initiated, I am temple president, I am guru, I am counselor, I am leader. So much of your overconfidence about your devotional life. One devotee was very jokingly saying, just telling Prabhu, please don't glorify me too much. I will start believing them to be true. What does that mean? It means we are assuming something about ourselves. When somebody says that you are a very nice devotee, probably you start to think we are one. So overconfidence is not accepted. Srila Prabhupada writes in 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3, maybe text number 4 or 5 in the purport. He writes, excessive confidence of Daksha, thinking that I have Brahma by my side, made him disrespect Lord Shiva, who was a Param Vaishnava. So Prabhupada translates that excessive confidence that Daksha had, because he thought, I have Brahma, Brahma is my father, Brahma is the one who gave me responsibility, so who can come and shake me off, even if Lord Shiva is not called, even if some of his, you know, associates are not called, there is nothing that I am going to lose, because I have Brahma by my side. So Prabhupada writes a very wonderful purport. So this excessive confidence is not good for us. So as devotees, we definitely need to be confident that Krishna will protect, but we should not be overconfident, thinking that after all I am a devotee, what can happen? The eighth offense, committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. I mean, the culture of, all, not even eight, five, six, seven, eight, all the offenses of the 10 offenses of the holy name. To consider the names of the, what is the 8th offense? To literature or Vedic literature, the person's Vedic version. And, to consider this all Vedic literature are some exaggeration. And they are just, not trying to talk about truth. So to consider that is an offense. So the point is that in the process of practicing Krishna consciousness, we cannot be overconfident. Auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karma kanda, 8th offense. So the principle that I am talking about is, we as practicing devotees, to attract Krishna's love, to get Krishna to reveal us his personal nature, we need to raise our bar much beyond what we could think of. So the second reflection hence is about the confidence. And we should not be overconfident, we should be absolute confident. Absolute confidence comes in the fear for Krishna's glories, fear for glorifying Krishna, fear for loving Krishna, fear for caring for Krishna, fear for serving Krishna, fear for making sure that Krishna's service was finally taken care, not the fearing that we are not going to get anything for what we need. Because overconfidence guys have extra familiarity. Their familiarity breeds content. The third reflection is about possessiveness. Because what happens is, in spirituality, especially in Vrindavan, all the devotees are possessive to Krishna. So this possessiveness has got two phases to it. If the possessiveness is for Krishna's pleasure, for enhancing Krishna's love, for loving towards Krishna, making him feel more and more loved, then that possessiveness is great. But if the possessiveness is towards narrow-minded approach, not going to give Krishna's love and Krishna's holy name to others, that approach is condemned. Ramanujacharya, he was initiated by Goshti Purna, and when he got initiated, he was told not to reveal the secret, because the mantra, if he can go back home, back to Godhead, but this mantra should not be told anyone. And as soon as Ramanujacharya got initiated, he came and told everybody. And the whole story you all know. The point here is that if somebody is possessive, and if that possessiveness is for enhancing Krishna's glory, enhancing your spiritual master's glory, and not to snub anybody off, not to restrict anybody off, it is in a broad-minded sense to cherish in that possessiveness is mine. In Vrindavan, every gopi used to feel possessive of Krishna, thinking that they have a very deep love and not others have. And every gopi used to shringar herself, to decorate herself and go and stand in front of Krishna. And as soon as Krishna gets attracted to a particular gopi, all others used to go and serve that gopi so nicely because Krishna today chose that gopi to be with. So the possessiveness is not about cunningness. Possessiveness not is out of envy. Possessiveness is, I give the best to Krishna. Maybe possessiveness is not the right word into this context. But the point I want to say is that how much you are deep in your personal care and love for the Supreme Lord and how they are supposed to be exhibited in taking care of your deities, in taking care of your services, in taking care of your chanting, in taking care of your vows, in taking care of your principles. Think about it. When Ramanujacharya gave Anantacharya the service to make a pond in Tirupati, Anantacharya had his wife being pregnant and they were making this pukur, they are making this pond. And Anantacharya used to dig the pond. And his wife used to go and throw the sand collected from digging to a side place. So a small boy, he came and asked Anantacharya, "My dear sir, I am seeing you struggling alone. Can I help you?" He said, "No, this is a service given to me by spiritual master. I do not want to partake with you. I do not want to escape from my responsibility. I do not want to shy away. It is my duty." So this boy went disappointed. So he went to his wife, who was pregnant. So he told, "My dear mother, I will help you." So she said, no, my husband has said no, so nothing doing. But somehow this boy persuaded and told her that, "You are a pregnant lady, you should be careful, so don't take much strain. We will do it in such a manner that your husband will not come to know. You bring it only to a certain point in time. From that point in time, I will carry the sand load and throw it elsewhere, so that at least you don't need to carry them." And somehow this lady got convinced. And this boy was shuttling to help the lady, Anantacharya's wife. Suddenly Anantacharya found his wife doing her duties much faster than that. Before she used to take maybe 2 minutes to carry the collected sand from digging, and she used to take 2 minutes to go and put it in another place and come back. But now she is doing pretty faster. He found something fishy and he went and saw his boy is doing his job. And he chased that boy and that boy started running. "How come? How dare you? I told you not to disturb us, not to come in the way of our service." The boy went on running. He finally entered the temple. Anantacharya, was chasing him to the temple. And he had a crowbar in his hand and he hit that boy with his crowbar. Because of the hitting, the boy's forehead and chin got hurt. And with that bleeding, the boy kept on running. He kept running in the ulta direction, opposite direction, anti-clockwise direction in the temple, and finally vanished. And when the pujari opened the curtain in the temple, they saw Balaji Diti bleeding from his forehead and chin. And that's when they realized what has actually happened. And since then, Balaji is given butter to his forehead and his chin. That's why the white portion of Balaji's tilak is butter to heal the wound. The point is, the mood of a devotee is not to relinquish his service. The mood of his devotee is not to give away, walk away, wash away the responsibilities. He's possessive. This is something that I wish to do to Krishna. That is why I don't renounce the renunciation. Renounce so many things. there are certain things that we should be possessive about. But this possessiveness should not be hampering in the way of our being God-minded. So possessiveness also has a negative connotation. So please understand this from a very positive sense. With these two qualities, you can attract, and there are many more qualities, but I thought at least talk about these two qualities. And this possessiveness and confidence, which is what Rukmini revealed, which is what Gopis revealed, which is what Dilvamangala Thakura revealed, which is what Goswami's revealed, which is attracting Krishna to reveal his weaker portion, his submissive portion to his devotees. And being stone-hearted and being egoistic and proud does not attract Krishna. To that person, Krishna becomes a ruler. He is just a controller. But for all these people, he is father, beloved, and so many other emotions. So these three reflections are to share how Krishna's transcendental qualities get enhanced. So to summarize our conversation, we had three sets of reflections. Reflection number one is about how Krishna's transcendental qualities get enhanced. So Krishna's qualities are such that he reveals his transcendental qualities to those people who have extreme unadulterated love, and he can't control, you know, in front of them, revealing his transcendental qualities. And to those people who are proud and egoistic, he can't reveal them. So Krishna's transcendental qualities are not independent. They are dependent and interdependent with his dear devotees. That is why Krishna and his devotees are inseparable. And why and what such qualities of devotees are so attractive is about their confidence, absolute confidence that Krishna is going to protect. And in that confidence, they also have fear for Krishna's safety and security and, you know, comfort. And they also have awe and reverence, wherein overconfidence does not have any care and fear. In fact, carelessness attracts overconfidence and familiarity attracts overconfidence. These are examples of both. And third is about the possessiveness, positive possessiveness, wherein being possessive about holy name, initiation vows, services, love and care for Krishna is very constructive, wherein Krishna's transcendental qualities are revealed. Whereas possessiveness in the negative connotation makes us proud and egoistic and narrow-minded. So in these two shlokas, also in the context of guna aspect of Krishna's transcendental qualities, I thought I'll just share these reflections. Thank you so much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. For any questions or comments, you can discuss. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam, our glorious Krishna Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, the possessiveness you are telling, yes. How we can apply in our life? Means you gave some example. Means we should think normal servant of Krishna in any condition. Sometimes we just be very much distracted. We don't get the actual result, or we may not have that much of patience to get the certain things, and then how we can apply that possessiveness. I mean, because we can apply in our life.
My understanding is, are you asking how can you develop positive possessiveness? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, so it is like this. If we are not possessive about our service, if we are not attached to our own, you know, devotional activities, then we cease to exist as a devotee. So I will tell you my two cents on this is, in our devotional life, if we are not careful enough in trying to execute our devotional services, careful enough in being positively inclined and being possessive of what we are doing, at the same time being cooperative and not being envious towards others, our devotional creeper is in itself going to be in trouble. So if our devotional creeper itself is in trouble, then what is left? There's nothing that is left. So there is something that is a alarming warning that we need to give ourselves, that these are all big no-no, that I can never allow that to happen in my life. Number one, that we should not allow at any time our own devotional creeper to be uprooted by our own decision. And if we fear that, if we fear that we might do that accidentally, not knowingly, in anything, we should analyze why that is happening. And one of the very obvious reasons is because of our overconfidence. So that is the reason I was talking about possessiveness and confidence and connection, is that 9 out of 10 devotees today we are seeing who are not able to practice Krishna consciousness is because of their being overconfident. You just plot your own life, where when you were a new devotee, when you were aspiring for initiation, on the day of initiation, on the day of second initiation, what vairagya, what sakti, what intelligence, what commitment, what mentality that we have had. So are we having that, you know, perpetually now? No. Because now that I am second initiator, my all the major milestones are accomplished in my life, so I can do whatever I want to do. So we kind of get lax, we kind of get carried away, we kind of get bogged down. So I was just, discussing the other day on this overconfidence point. Because overconfidence kills humility. Overconfidence actually does not make us realize opportunity, rather than it only makes us think about our achievements, entitlements. It does not make us realize opportunity ahead of us. Overconfidence is just like an empty vessel. It only makes more noise. And overconfidence only makes us a daydreamers. Now we have to actually do things. So we have to be very careful not to be overconfident about, every day I'm attending morning Bhagavata class, every day I'm attending. This is what happened to Indra. Indra, Vritrasura's pastime, Indra did all his morning program and sat at the courtyard and he was enjoying the entertainment. Gauranga Prabhu was very jokingly saying that, he finished his morning Mangalarti, Darshanarti, chanting Bhagavatam class, and he turned on his Sony entertainment or different entertainment channel, like we all devotees, we do. Oh, now my 5 o'clock, 9 o'clock, my morning sadhana is done. Now is the time for me to relax. Now is the time for me for my entertainment, that I can do something away from Krishna consciousness. That's where the problem started, and that's where he started disrupting Brihaspati and the entire story of Vritrasura. I know you're all aware. The point is that one of the easiest ways of overcoming overconfidence is, according to my understanding, is to somehow or other position ourselves in such a manner that we do menial, humble, and services where we are not recognized, rather we are engaged. Because what happens is that when we are doing some profile service, which we should do. I'm not saying we are not supposed to. There are many, many important services that we are supposed to participate. But in addition to that, we should do some humble, simple, very menial service, which can crush our ego, which can crush our pride, which can crush our, adamancy. So because many a times after we become senior devotees in ISKCON, we can become senior devotees very easily. Just be in ISKCON, you will become a senior devotee. If you don't do anything else, just be in ISKCON. 15, 20, 30 years, you are a 30-year senior devotee. You will get garland, yajnas, and everything you want. But our agenda is not to become senior devotee. Our agenda is to become an advanced devotee. Our agenda is to become Goswami. For us to become Goswami, we should start relinquishing all upadhi. It means we should start accepting a very simple, humble profile. Yatva purna madesha mandalapati renim sadatuchava bhutva dina ganesha gau karunaya kaupina kantashikau. So it is extremely important that we should somewhere or other accept menial position whilst doing all strategic services, So I am interested not in my name, fame, identity. I am interested only in my being participative in the service. So if we can learn to be doing menial services, whilst you are doing all the other strategic services, that's okay. Do some menial services, wash toilets, mop the floor, wash vessels, and in such a manner that it crushes our ego. Not that I will only do white collar, jasas and service. No, you should do some services which can crush our ego. No, I cannot bow down to this. No, do some services which can actually challenge yourself, challenge your pride. Because of our overconfidence, we are not able to be possessive about our services. Because of that, we are trying to overlook that this can actually affect our devotional service. Am I making some sense, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Because sometimes it happens. Thank you, Prabhuji, for answering.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class. Is there anybody having any more questions?
Thank you, Ajiram Gijaji Prabhu, Koti Koti Dhanwad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki. Your class is really very magnificent, and all realizations are like working in day-to-day life. And yes, Prabhuji, we have to hear and hear your class. Hari Bol, Jai Shri Radhe.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, once again. If there are no more questions, we would like to end the call here by offering obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpa.